Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
Welcome to the KP Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Peter Kamboukos, here with our co-host, Keith Anderson, and we're coming to you from the KP Studios here at the Forum. So, Keith, tell us, what are we going to be discussing today?
Yes, today is going to be an awesome show. I'm really excited about it. 2021, starting off crazy year. We're in a
crazier really, than 2020.
I didn't think that possible, but it might be. You never know. And that's what today is going to be all about. We're going to be talking about some of the predictions we have, some of the bold predictions and some of the locks for this year. Mm-hmm. Just to talk about what we're expecting here for this upcoming year. And then we have a little surprise at the end of this. So we have some outside of real estate bold predictions that neither of us know what each other put. So it should be interesting. So stay tuned for those ones. It should get a little rowdy, I'm sure.
Yeah, I can't wait to see your reaction here.
Awesome. So, Pete, let's start it off with just some, let's ease us into this year is what I would probably like to say, with some more, I guess, formalized locks, things that we feel 99% confident.
Good chances of happening.
Great, I would say great chance. These are our locks. Let's say our guarantees almost, if you will, without it being 100% guarantee.
Yeah, as close to that as we can get, huh, with the lock. So I'll start us off, and here's my first one, what I call the lock for 2021. For me, there will not be a housing crash this year.
And that's interesting because, I mean, even if that's a lock for you. But
that's a lock.
I would say a majority of people out there are completely terrified of such.
I see the fear videos. You go on YouTube and you search on there, and what am I seeing? Housing crash 2021, the coming crash. So yeah, there's definitely a lot of people out there that are predicting that. So part of what we always talk about when we say, okay, there's not going to be a crash, or you've got people out there predicting there's going to be a crash. But the biggest thing is, you know, no one asks why. Well, you're throwing out these predictions. People are saying there's going to be a crash, and they're putting out all these videos trying to scare people. Why do they think there's going to be a crash? What would cause this crash? How does a crash work? So, you know, I know we've discussed it, you know, amongst ourselves and the team here many times, but the first thing to understand is what is a crash? And so if we're predicting, or someone's predicting a crash out there, you got to go over what even is that? So, you know, when we're defining a crash, you've got to have, whether it's a house or a car or a stock or whatever, you've got to have something that you're trying to sell where you can't find a buyer. And then by definition, the prices are crashing, or the market is crashing.
Dropping, yeah.
Until you find those buyers, so you find the equilibrium. Well, that's really not possible at the moment because we don't have any houses. We have no supply. So even if our supply, you know, doubles from here or triples from here, we're so far away from an equal market, a normal market, that we'd have to see, you know, things just come to a standstill for a long period of time, or supply just start to sit there for a long period of time before we even can come back to a neutral market. And then think about coming down, you know? So, I mean, we're just so far away from a neutral market that it's going to take a while before we can get a crash. And so it's not saying we won't see another one, you know, at some point, but that's not coming anytime soon. We won't see it this year.
Yeah. And I think people look at when there's extremes in the market, their immediate reaction is a crash, that it happens on both sides. And that's not necessarily the case, is what you're basically saying.
Yeah, and one of the things to remind people out there, this is something that people always bring up that I'd like to differentiate, is they say, well, the prices have gone up so much. And people need to remember, price is a symptom. Price is not a cause. So a price going up is not going to cause a crash. Prices going up or down reflect what is happening. So, you know, it would reflect a crash when the prices go down, or the prices would reflect the crash by going down, or increasing prices are reflecting the low supply, but they're not causing it. Simple price going up won't cause a crash.
It's just a reaction.
Yeah, it's a symptom. It's a reaction.
No, that's awesome. And I think That's a solid lock. I mean, I would probably agree with you on that. Absolutely, from what we're seeing this year. So I think that's a fair lock for this year that a lot of people might think otherwise, which
Yeah, I think sometimes people are out there just trying to scare people, or people are hoping, you know, they're hoping it's
please
coming
crash,
down.
Let me buy something.
Yeah, you know? let it come down so I can buy something, but that's not going to happen anytime real soon.
Cool.
So what is, let's hear your lock. What do you got there?
You know what? I have an interesting lock. I'm going to side with my fellow generation. So I'm a millennial and, I don't know if I 100% always want to back that. You know, I don't like telling people that all the time, but I am a millennial. That age range is from the age of 24 to 39 currently right now. So it's making up the younger side of the population that are adults, if you will. And I think my lock for this year is that millennials are going to make up a majority of the home purchases this year.
The majority. So you're going with the Homer pick here. You're going with your group.
Oh yeah.
So it's a big group. So yeah. So okay, I can understand 15, that. When you say
15 years.
When you say the majority, what are you talking about here? Where do you think that thing's gonna end up? Give us a guess.
I'm kind of leaning towards that 60%.
60%.
I'm thinking like, yeah.
So 60% of the purchases this year.
Yeah.
Going to be that group.
I think it's because millennials are more prepared right now coming into the market than they have been in the past, you know, in generations at this age range. I think that they do a ton of research. They're saving money. They're trying to get more prepared to make a purchase. And I think a lot of people look towards millennials as not being so prepared. But the numbers actually reflect that millennials are using an agent more often to buy a house than ever seen before. And on top of it, they're buying houses at an unprecedented rate now.
But what do you, Keith? I remember hearing all of these things over the last couple of years. Millennials don't want to buy houses, guys. They just want to rent. They just want to live in the city. They don't want to buy any houses. Are you telling me these people were all wrong?
Yes. I think that's a huge thing that we're seeing in the media, that's the way millennials are portrayed. But if you look at the bottom line numbers, they're buying more houses than we ever thought possible, and they're trending that direction. So I think that's my lock this year. I think we have a pretty darn close prediction of it being close to that 60% margin by the end of this year.
Yeah, no, I like that one. And that's why I asked. I mean, we've been talking about the last couple of years. We were hearing those reports and we're saying, guys, that's not true. These millennials, we're seeing them trending up. And that's interesting. We'll see where they end up this year. But I like it. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very, very feasible. And I think that we can definitely do something. So I got something for you. I want to hear your last lock. I want to hear the lock that you have that you've been
Let's go one more lock and then we'll get into some of those bold ones there. So I think another thing we're going to see this year. So I've been in the business for a while now. So we saw the last crash and we saw what was happening there with the new home builders and that big supply coming up at that point. And then what happened afterwards was most of those builders stopped building, which was really led to where we're sitting now. So I think another lock for this year is we're going to see the highest number of new builds, new housing starts since that great recession in 2008. I think those home builders are back in force and we're going to see that number the highest we've seen in well over a decade.
So my question with that, because the only thing that kind of makes me question that even in the slightest is where are they going to build at? Because there's not a lot of land, you know? Like, so I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, that might be the case. You know, I see these waiting lists and these lottery picks on purchases for new builds now. And I would probably agree with you, but where are they heading? Like, where's these locations that they're moving to start these building projects?
You know, that's an interesting point. So they're still heading out further. You know, I mean, we're seeing stuff going into unincorporated areas of Pinal County, here in central and southern Arizona, into unincorporated areas of Maricopa, and just pushing further out Casa Grande down there outside of our market. And I do think, you know, the changes with the work at home, school from home, some of that stuff's in there to stay. And so first-time homebuyers, people looking for more affordable, you know, they're going to have to drive out a little bit further. And I think that's plausible and accessible to more people now that they don't necessarily have to drive to a city center every day. And so for them, yes. I mean, man, it's they're pushing those out. You know, we're seeing them out there.
And they're a little easier too. You know, I would say compared to where we're seeing this market, this competition, it might be a little easier to buy a new build in this market than to go up against 20, 30 offers that we're seeing, especially in the East Valley here. So
yeah, well, it depends on how far out you go. Like you said, you got the old lottery days from the last go around, man.
Whew. The line into
the wait list.
It's getting wild.
Well, let's get into some of these more bold predictions.
Recap. I want to recap real quick. Okay. Just because I want to hear what we got.
Okay.
So you're saying that we will not see a crash this year.
We will not have a housing crash in 2021.
And then we have that millennials, the age range of 24 to 39, is going to make up a strong majority of those purchases this year.
Yeah. 60%, you said?
60%.
All right. Let's see.
Then you're saying new home permits and their
new home starts. Yeah, construction starting. Yep.
Is going to be the highest we've seen.
Yeah, the highest we've seen since that Great Recession. Okay. Over a decade. They're back in building in force.
All right. Those are our locks. Put them down. Yep. Let's check back.
Those are the things that are happening.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, now we got a little bit different flow.
Yeah. So now we'll talk about some stuff that's maybe a little bit more, our bold predictions, a little bit more of a long shot. These are things that could happen, but might be a little more out there. But we think these are things that we could see this year. So let's kick it off with you, Keith. Let's give us that first one. What do you think is possible to happen this year that maybe a lot of people aren't expecting?
Yeah, I have another Homer prediction. I think I'm kind of
here.
Sticking
he goes with
these.
The Homer picks.
You know, I like being on home field advantage. Right. I like seeing what I know. And
so you got to stick to.
I got to stick to what I know
because that's not a lot that you know there, huh?
Hey, it might be small feet, but hey, we're pushing it.
Stay with what works.
Yeah, man. Work with what you got. So I'm gonna be in the Gilbert area, the Gilbert City. My bold prediction is that Gilbert appreciates this year over 20%.
Woo! Over 20%.
Over 20%
appreciation.
Percent.
Damn, that's a big one.
Yes, and kind of looking at the numbers, and let me explain myself before you tear me down.
Okay, let's dig into that a little bit.
First off, here's my number one reason right off the bat. We saw over a 9%, I think over a 10% appreciation from January of last year to January of this year, which we thought was a big, strong, trending, moving year. This year, we're already starting off on a pace much faster than we've ever seen in a long, long time. I think ever, actually. And so this paired with the extreme competitive marketplace, pushing prices higher than we've ever seen, on top of the fact that people are out there waiving appraisal contingencies, offering clear over list price at an unprecedented rate.
I thought list price was a starting bid now. Isn't that how it works?
No, that's
point?
An insult. List price is an insult in Gilbert. If you're riding on a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house in Gilbert and you write it list, you're not getting this house. You're not. That would go beyond to show that Gilbert alone is already trending close to 105% list to sold price ratio.
Hold on a second. I'm not a math whiz, but that's over 100%.
Over 100%. So let me give this an example for you. If you list a house at 400K, it's going over there. It's not selling at a 400K on average. That's the average. That's every house that sells in Gilbert. It sells for more than what it's listed at.
But don't we, in order for you to get that appreciation, I mean, you've actually got to have some sales because we got like 4-5 houses available in Gilbert right now. I mean, there's nothing out there.
See, and I think that's the thing that also people misinterpret. There's houses coming on. They just sell absolutely immediately. We have a less than 2 weeks supply in Gilbert.
2 weeks.
2 weeks supply. So it's not that there's no houses. They just sell so quick you don't even see. They're selling coming soon.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that. They're not even hitting the market a lot.
So that's my bold prediction. 20% appreciation year over year. January through the end of the year, 20%. So if you live in Gilbert and you believe in me, you're a lucky man.
House going up by a fifth this year.
Yes.
All right.
Up by a fifth.
My God.
I live in Gilbert. I'm hoping for the same thing.
Oh, there you go. That's where it is. That's why we know. Now we know where it's coming from.
You know what? So you'll see my house probably on the market by the end of this year if we hit that 20% market. That's my bold prediction.
All right. Okay. Well, that's a good one. That's a good one.
What do you got, Pete? I want to hear yours.
So you just told us about the seller side there, the appreciation. You got that house in Gilbert. Things are going to be good for you. But what about these buyers? What about these poor buyers trying to buy that house from you? So I've got a bold prediction that might. They're out here trying to bid. You're bidding them up over, 110, 120%. So my bold prediction is for some of our buyers out there. As low as we have seen these mortgage rates right now, 30-year rates, I think we could see a sub 2% rate on a 30-year fix this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sub 2?
Sub 2%. Yeah. I mean, as crazy as that sounds, we're already in the twos now. You know what I mean? I mean, no one ever thought, I've been in this business a long time. Keith, when I first got my first one, this might age me a little bit. I had a 6.5% rate on my first one, and I thought that was fantastic.
6.5%.
6.5%.
Fantastic.
Now we got clients who are like, what is this? 4%? Like this is
outrageous.
This is outrageous at 4%. And now, so we've got, 30-year fixed rates at under 3%. We're in the twos. So how could we possibly get any lower? I didn't know how we could get this low, but you got some stuff out there. You've got the Fed keeping these rates at zero.
Okay.
Okay. You've got potential inflation coming, which means that even if the Fed keeps them at zero, I know they don't want to go negative, but we could see real rates go negative this year. We could see those rates, the long-term rates, I shouldn't say real rates. We see the long-term rates on the treasury bonds, which is directly what correlates to our mortgage rates. Remember, they're not, the Fed being at zero doesn't mean your mortgage rates at zero. That's the rate that they're lending to banks. That's the rate that the banks get. But what mortgage rates trend to is the treasury bonds, the 10-year bonds. We could see those go negative. And if those go negative, then we could see that rate drop under two.
I can't jump on board with that. 2%? Like, that's nuts.
Hey, it's like we say, it's a bold prediction, but it's possible.
Yeah.
We're under three now. We're in the twos. It could happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're seeing mortgages come in at 2.85, 2.75 right now.
We're not that far away. So buyers out there, have some faith. Have some faith. You could see this. I mean, it could happen. We could see what happens there.
Well, if they're going to afford a 20% appreciated house in Gilbert, that rate better be.
Yeah, they're going to need to.
Because they're going to need to keep those payments.
Yeah, and those things will work together. Yep. We've got to see if that appreciation is going to keep going. Those rates need to stay low so that affordability can stay there for sure.
Yeah.
So let's hear from the homer again. Let's see if he what he's got for us this time. Keith, what's your next bold prediction there?
I'm going outside the box.
So non-homer pick this time? Okay, try something different.
10% homer, I guess, if you will. So we're seeing some pretty crazy stuff in the Phoenix Metro as it is already. And we have currently on the market 4,500 active listings. listings.
Remind me, what do we got here? Like 5.5 million, 5 million people, something like that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so
we got four and a half.
To kind of put a little other perspective on it. Last year, the MLS for normal residential sales saw 105,000 transactions take place.
Mm, that's a lot.
That's a lot of transactions.
Yep.
And we have 4,500 active listings. So that being said, that's crazy. Last year, this same time, we had over 11,000 active listings.
And that's low. Even that, I remember last year sitting there going, oh man, look at how low we are.
Yeah.
Because what's normal?
6 months supply. So what is that?
20,000, 25,000 plus. Yeah.
And we're sitting at 4,558 active listings. So my bold prediction for this year, because of the extreme seller's market, because of the strong demand, I do not see us climbing over 6,000 active listings at any point this year.
The whole year.
The whole year.
We're going to stay under that 6,000 the whole year.
Yeah, and hear me out. January, February, March are supposed to be one of our stronger listing generation months. Like our first quarter is supposed to be when everybody's like, oh, it's the new year, time to sell.
Yeah, we're through the holidays.
Snowbirds are still in town. People are going to come in for spring training. This is where all the excitement is. Everybody's getting it ready for, spring cleaning, put that thing on the market. We're at 4,558 listings. It, in fact, went down from last month.
Which is crazy.
We're trending the wrong direction. Like that's where it's really crazy to me.
We're supposed to see a bump in January, aren't we?
Right? Nope. Going down. So what that means in my mind is if we keep this pace, even in the slightest, we could even have a little bump up. Might bump back into the 5,000 range. But
that's
I don't think we're going over six.
Bump up into 5,000.
We're not. My bold prediction this year is we do not go over six.
That is crazy for the whole year. I mean, I know we're so that'd be a record low for the year. I would think that'd be an all time low
record year.
Which I mean, it seems like we've been hitting record lows nonstop over here. So, I mean, so what are you thinking here? Nobody's putting their house up for sale, or what's going on with that thing?
I just think they put it up. And it gets bought so fast that they can't stay active. This is where they call it a fire sale market. It doesn't matter what condition your house is in. You list that house, it's probably going to be gone in the first week. So, I mean, as long as you're pricing it reasonably.
A window unit in the shed in the back. You think I could parcel that out, or maybe we could sell that?
I'd go to the city right now and talk about permitting, you know, and see what you got.
This is the time. This is the time.
Oh, this is it. So that's kind of where we're at with our real estate predictions. I'm excited about this, what this year has, and I'm curious of what this crazy outside of real estate prediction you have is. It's been you've been picking on me all day today.
Yeah. So let's throw it out here for the homer. So for people that don't know, Keith here hails from where are you from there, Keith? Why don't you share actually with them?
Born and raised in Washington State.
Washington State.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the Seattle area up there?
It's up there.
You guys got a football team?
We do.
What's the name of that football team?
Super Bowl champion Seahawks.
Not for a long time.
It's been a little while now.
My prediction is this year that quarterback of the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, will be traded to the Denver Broncos.
Excuse me?
He's gone.
Okay, first off, hold up. That's a franchise player you're speaking about here. Should be MVP. Still hasn't received an MVP vote. Putting my name out there. Come on, let's make it 2021, 2022. Hey. Let's get some votes out there. But that's not happening.
I didn't see
happening.
Him in the Super Bowl
first
this year.
First off, he's not going to Denver Broncos. Did you see Drew Lock get killed this year? That's not happening. He's not going anywhere where he's getting sacked any more than he already is. That's just not going to happen.
They got some talent. They got some wide receivers, some talented wide receivers over there. Defense is pretty good. They had some injuries this year. So here's the thing. Here's the thing with Russell, okay? He you know, a couple years ago, he became the highest paid quarterback, I don't know how many years ago. And I remember looking at that, just like anytime that happens with us, going, oh man, he's going to hamper this team for how long? Well, now you guys, you know, he's been carrying that team. You got Russell and a bunch of guys. It's time for them to move on from that contract. They're going to be trading him. It's all right, dude. You'll get over it.
This is the only way, okay? If I get Deshaun Watson and 5 first round picks, I'll rid myself of Russell Wilson. You heard it here first.
Wow. Oh, wow.
5 first round picks, Deshaun Watson on the Seattle
Seahawks.
All I heard is
you're okay getting rid of Russell. That's all I heard.
Okay. Let's move on. This is ridiculous.
So that's mine for the Homer boy over here. So let's see. What's your non-real estate prediction for this year?
All right. I'm going outside the box. I don't know how many of you guys follow the economy, seeing some of the major news articles going out. Those of you guys have seen my man, Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos, if you're watching this podcast, you know, you can comment. I'll message you back. I'd love to have a great conversation.
I'm sure he's listening.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And so Jeff just resigned from being CEO.
He's going to be a chairman of the board. Yep.
That's an amazing decision in my mind. Yep. It's like, I don't know how he was there.
It gives him time to do
something. Yeah, he's got his free
whatever
time.
Whatever he wants to do, I guess.
Whatever that is, CEO of an absolutely amazing company. But what is he going to spend all his time on, right? Jeff Bezos in 2021 will be Iron Man. It's going to happen. That's my bold prediction.
Hold on. Iron Man.
Tony Stark in our present day is Jeff Bezos.
Explain yourself here. What do you mean he's going to be Iron Man?
By the end of this year, you will see a metallic armored suit flying around with Jeff Bezos
inside.
He's going
to have jetpacks on this thing?
Most likely. Or air compressed. I don't know. It's going to be nuts. He's going to be in the air flying around and he's going to, you know, be in somebody's airspace and they're going to freak out. It's going to happen.
With this Iron Man suit.
It's going to be either on national news or we're never going to hear about it because the military
is
going
to
hire
him. So this is why he's stepping out as CEO. He needed time to work on his Iron Man suit.
Oh, he's been working on it, but now he's going to step into that role. He's going to have that press conference like we've seen from Tony Stark, and he's going to announce it to the world. He's going to be the defender of this great country.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility is the craziest part here. You know, I mean, it could, wow. You know, I mean, that's a bold thing right now. But if there is someone that I could see doing something like this, I could definitely see Bezos doing this thing.
You know, he's got the figure. He's about the right height. I could see that's Iron Man right there. It's coming.
So bold prediction for 2021, Jeff Bezos makes a real life Iron Man suit. That's possible. That's possible. I'd love to see it. You think he's going to start selling something like that on Amazon?
Those suits? No, he is Iron Man. No.
How about a toned down version for the rest of us?
Maybe an action figure with his face on the Iron Man action figure.
Well, we can always hope.
I don't even know if there's copyright, you know, Amazon Man. Can they call it instead of Iron Man? I don't know, but.
So let's look at what we've got here. So besides Jeff Bezos becoming Iron Man and Russell Wilson ending up at the Broncos, it's pretty much guaranteed. We talk about, Keith, we're looking at no housing crash this year. We've got millennials being the biggest, making up the biggest percentage of the home purchase for this year. We're going to see the highest housing starts from new builders that we've seen since the Great Recession. We've got Gilbert appreciating up over 20%.
20%.
Sub 2% 30-year mortgages.
Still doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, we'll see on that one. And then we've got active listings in the Phoenix metro area will never cross over 6,000 for the year.
Not this year.
It's going to be an interesting year.
I'm excited. And we're going to circle back at the end of this year. We're going to check in on our predictions. We're going to see who is right. We each got, four of them each of us. We'll see what our percentage is for that. And you're losing, guaranteed.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll see about that. But I like them, guys. It's going to be an interesting year. We'll see what happens here. Like I said, when we revisit those here at the end of the year. But I'm looking forward to. Should be a good year in the real estate market for sure, and hopefully better than 2020 in the world overall.
I agree. Well, guys, I just wanted to remind you, thanks for joining us for our show today. Any questions you have, please send to questions@kpeliteaz.com. We'd love to answer all of those. If you have any topics for our next podcast, we'd love to hear them. We'd love to dive deep on something you guys are thinking about or have questions about. In the meantime, go to kppodcast.com. You'll be able to check out all our other podcasts and subscribe there. Follow us on Instagram @thekpelite and Facebook. And also follow us on YouTube, where you'll see all our video podcasts, as well as our YouTube training channels and everything else we're doing, from market updates to everything that's coming here in the Phoenix metro. So awesome, guys.
Cool. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. We'll see you guys next time.
Sounds good.